One of the most important implications of Heisenberg's uncertainty principle is that particles behave in some respects like waves. As we have seen, they do not have a definite position, but are smeared out with a certain probability distribution. Equally, although light is made up of waves, Planck's quantum hypothesis also tells us that in some ways, light behaves as if it were composed of particles. It can be emitted or absorbed only in packets, or quanta. In fact, the theory of quantum mechanics is based on an entirely new type of mathematics that no longer describes the real world in terms of either particles or waves. For some purposes, it is helpful to think of particles as waves, and for other purposes, it is better to think of waves as particles. But these ways of thinking are just conveniences. This is what physicists mean when they say there is a duality between waves and particles in quantum mechanics. An important consequence of wave-like behavior in quantum mechanics is that one can observe what is called interference between two sets of particles. Normally, interference is thought of as a phenomenon of waves. That is to say, when waves collide, the crests of one set of waves may coincide with the troughs of the other set, in which case the waves are said to be out of phase. If that happens, the two sets of waves can then cancel each other out, rather than adding up to a stronger wave as one might expect. A familiar example of interference in the case of light is the colors that are often seen in soap bubbles. These are caused by reflection of light from the two sides of the thin film of water forming the bubble. White light consists of light waves of all different wavelengths or colors. For certain wavelengths, the crests of the waves reflected from one side of the soap film coincide with the troughs reflected from the other side. The colors corresponding to these wavelengths are absent from the reflected light, which therefore appears to be colored. But quantum theory tells us that interference can also occur for particles because of the duality introduced by quantum mechanics. A famous example is the so-called two-slit experiment. Imagine a partition, a thin wall, with two narrow parallel slits in it. Before we consider what happens when particles are sent through these slits, let's examine what happens when light is shined on them. On one side of the partition, you place a source of light of a particular color, that is, of a particular wavelength. Most of the light will hit the partition, but a small amount will go through the slits. Now suppose you place a screen on the far side of the partition from the light. Any point on that screen will receive waves from both slits. However, in general, the distance the light has to travel from the light source to the point via one of the slits will be different than for the light traveling via the other slit. Since the distance traveled differs, the waves from the two slits will not be in phase with each other when they arrive at the point. In some places, the troughs from one wave will coincide with the crests from the other, and the waves will cancel each other out. In other places, the crests and troughs will coincide, and the waves will reinforce each other. And in most places, the situation will be somewhere in between. The result is a characteristic pattern of light and dark. The remarkable thing is that you get exactly the same kind of pattern if you replace the source of light by a source of particles, such as electrons, that have a definite speed. According to quantum theory, if the electrons have a definite speed, the corresponding matter waves have a definite wavelength. Suppose you have only one slit and start firing electrons at the partition. Most of the electrons will be stopped by the partition, but some will go through the slit and make it to the screen on the other side. It might seem logical to assume that opening a second slit in the partition would simply increase the number of electrons hitting each point of the screen. But if you open the second slit, the number of electrons hitting the screen increases at some points and decreases at others, just as if the electrons were interfering as waves do, rather than acting as particles. Now imagine sending the electrons through the slits one at a time. Is there still interference? One might expect each electron to pass through one slit or the other, doing away with the interference pattern. In reality, however, even when the electrons are sent through one at a time, the interference pattern still appears. Each electron, therefore, must be passing through both slits at the same time and interfering with itself.